The following podcast is scheduled for one fall with direct time remaining. Hello and welcome to a brand new installment of Nintendo News Report for Wednesday, September the 4th, 2019. I'm Donald Terriel, and I just finished reassembling myself after exploding out of sheer happiness due to the announcement of Tokyo Mirage Sessions coming to Switch, finally. Joined tonight here for an extra long edition of Nintendo News Report with Justin Berube.
Hello, everybody.
And the special guest, Brian Rose. Hello, Brian.
Hello.
All right, so let's get right into it here. So we had a pretty full Nintendo Direct here, and they started out with the thing that leaked out earlier in the day, but was pretty much known as early as, I don't know, 2 weeks ago when they put that Switch case up. Overwatch is coming to Switch, and it will be coming on October 15th, the Tuesday?
That's correct.
Yeah, they did add the gyro controls to the game if you're into the Splatoon 2 kind of shooting, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be full price. I believe I saw it at Best Buy for $40. Sadly, it has a box, but it's got a code in a box.
But the box I saw also came with, I think, 3 months of Nintendo Switch Online. Is that true?
That would make sense, and that does look like what's happening here. So. That'll help. That'll help defray some of the cost a little bit, because really, it's going to be kind of hard to play that stuff without Switch Online anyway.
Yeah, you can't.
So, Brian, are you into Overwatch at all, or have you tried that at all?
I played a little bit of it, and I thought I was pretty decent at it. But you know, if I played any more of it, I would be exposed pretty quickly. So, I mean, this is I like this addition to the Switch because it's another very popular, FPS game, online FPS game. So, I mean, this is pretty cool, but, I might play it for a little bit. I don't know if I'll end up getting it, and if I do, I'll play it for, like, a little bit, but I can just see myself playing it and not being that good, because I'm never good at first-person shooting type of games, so...
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, so they showed that off. No bundles, no amiibo, no nothing mentioned like that. But
yeah, I'm surprised there's not a console bundle for this.
Yeah, unless I wonder if at that point we'd be at the point where you'd be giving it. They'd basically be like, it wouldn't be any extra cost to do it. Like, they lowered the price of the system a little bit, but they just put the price of the system up here, so I can't say too much about that.
Yeah, I mean, and I've played a fair amount of Overwatch, and, I mean, it's cool. I'll probably get it, but I don't know how excited I am to play it not on a PC without the mouse controls.
Yeah, and there didn't seem to be any indication that there'd be a way to bring over progress from other systems on there.
Yeah, which is a bummer.
Yeah. So after Overwatch, we had the introduction, then into Luigi's Mansion 3. I kind of wish we had Xander here for this, but they showed off some new floors and an 8-player multiplayer mode, which is Luigi versus Gooigi.
I can imagine that being pretty fun. I mean, at first when Luigi's Mansion 3 was announced, I wasn't into it at all. But then I played it at E3 and I really liked it. And now I'm like really into this game. So I'm excited for all the new stuff they announced today. I love the idea of a multiplayer mode.
Yeah. I'm interested. It's just I'm still going to be working through September by the time Halloween comes around.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I'll probably still be working through September by the time Christmas comes around. So
October's gonna be busy for me.
Yeah, I think you.
I mean, every time is busy for me because I just get so distracted with Smash Brothers that there's so many games.
And there's a ton of games coming out in September.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they added like four more today.
Pretty much. I'm looking at this list right now, and there's just so many games coming out. November, December, January, October. It's crazy.
Yeah, and so they went into one of the shadow drops there with Super Kirby Clash, which is based off the Team Kirby Clash game, which I think was in Robobot for the 3DS. They split that off into a free-to-start thing on 3DS,
They split it off. I forget which game.
I think it was Robobot, because it was like 2017 when that was out. And then now that has come to Switch with multiplayer, and they seem to have repurposed some old Kirby bosses again for what basically amounts to side-scrolling Monster Hunter with Kirby powers.
It sounds kind of cool, I guess.
Yeah,
I didn't play the last one.
There's so many games I don't know.
Maybe I'll try this.
If I'm going to like get this, but it doesn't look terrible.
Yeah,
it's the type of game if someone's like, let's boot it up and play, I probably would, but I need to find that
it's
group of
that
people.
Kind of game. I feel.
Yeah. So we got a release date then for Trials of Mana. So that'll be in April of next year. Good. I can finally beat the original on Super Nintendo first via the Mana Collection.
Yeah, I still need to play my Mana Collection. I bought it the week of E3 and then I ignored it. I guess an impulse buy.
Because, it's out right now. Oh my god, hype. I managed to hold off on buying it until a couple of weeks ago because I got $40 in eShop credit that basically meant I just paid the Canadian tax on it. As a birthday gift, so that'll be nice to dig into sometime, probably April of next year, honestly, at the rate I'm going. Yeah. And something probably more up for the PC crowd among us here, Return of the Obradin, the adventure game from Lucas Pope, I believe did Papers, Please as well. Very unique art style, trying to solve a giant murder mystery on a boat in the middle of the ocean. That's going to be out in, they said, I believe fall was the date they gave for that one.
Oh, let's see.
Yeah, I don't remember, and I don't see it listed on the press release. Wait, no, it's fall.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's fall.
Coming this fall, so that'll probably be like late October or November, probably.
Yeah. It looks cool visually. And I like Papers, Please. I played that.
And long time Nintendo News Report listeners will know about Scott Thompson. He has raved about this game all year. So,
I think it's all on other system and it got good reviews.
Yeah, it was just out on PC. Yeah, it was out on PC before just exclusively, but it is going to come to all. It's going to be on all consoles, but the Switch one is the one where they chose the big reveal that it's coming.
Okay.
Game Freak's Town game, which we heard like nothing about for a solid year since the last September's Direct, they brought it back. It's going to be out in October. It's now called Little Town Hero, and they got Toby Fox to do the soundtrack.
That's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah, I thought it would hew more toward fantasy life than sort of like the strategy RPG, almost strategy type RPG that they're going for with it, though.
Yeah, I didn't see too much of this from the demo, from the trailer, honestly, but the little parts I saw, I mean, it looks more fleshed out. I'm interested in it. I'm surprised it's coming out so soon. I thought if they were going to show it today, it would be not out for a long time, but it's coming out next month.
It looked pretty good when they first showed it off, like I said, last September in the Direct. It's just now that they've been going pretty, whatever size team that isn't involved with isn't working on Sword and Shield is going to be into this, and
it's coming out around the same time as Pokemon. That's kind of surprising, but like you said, this has been in development for a while, so.
Yeah, and we're probably looking at, like, it's probably not going to be too long of a game either. Because the whole point of the game is, as they emphasize, that you don't leave the town.
Yeah, I can see if this is like a 40-hour RPG, this is going to be a kind of a boring, the setting. We're just in the same town for 40 hours.
Yeah, but things could happen to the town. Like, maybe a crater opens up in the town. And
maybe.
They summon
sinkhole.
A giant meteor.
Yeah.
Sinkhole comes. Opens up a town beneath your town.
That'd be cool.
That you didn't know about, of mole people.
Where'd you pull that one from?
Hey, I'm just making stuff up that they could do. In one
it's
area.
That's an idea. Or maybe like a parallel town where you're not technically leaving the town, but it's different.
Like a
mirror town.
A light world and a dark world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's a lot of things it can do.
All right. So after town, we now go to the Justin part of our program. They did some updates for Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Banjo is out right now, and yep. Already playable. And they had about a 20-minute video about him afterwards, which went so far as to include Masahiro Sakurai on a Nintendo video telling people to go find an Xbox One or Xbox 360 and play Banjo Kazooie.
He sure did.
Or find an N64, everybody.
Yeah. That was kind of amazing.
That's not the kind of thing you expect to hear in a Nintendo Direct, and it's like, what are we doing here?
I kind of thought
they were
going to announce like Banjo-Kazooie, the first or second, or either one of those games on Switch, but they did not. They instead plugged the Xbox One release.
So you think they actually meant, Microsoft actually meant it when they said, hey, we don't have any more plans to do games on the Switch right now?
Yeah.
I mean, things can always change. But maybe they mean it for right now.
Though it wouldn't... Yeah, things can change, but it wouldn't surprise me if down the line there was some sort of N64 classic system in Rare. And Microsoft agreed to put some of their games on it. As long as they get a cut, you know.
Yeah, they got to get their skin in the game. So, fair enough. And then, so they showed off Banjo in that 20-minute video. He's out now, whole set of spirits. And also, they had the version 5 for Smash, which includes what will probably be the last new game mode. That's Sakurai's words, not mine, in the form of Home Run Contest. Which you can now play. Have you been able to play that multiplayer? Because I've honestly never tried.
I think maybe in the last one you could have, but I mean, Home Run Contest isn't that exciting to me, so I don't mess around in it too much.
Yeah.
I did it a couple times today just to try it. I'm already bored of it and done with it. There's no real incentive for me or anyone really to do it unless you're going for some sort of crazy record.
Yeah, I can see myself playing that for 5 minutes, then moving on. It's cool. It's a nice addition.
Yeah, like maybe did they do a... like if they put a new challenge or something behind Home Run Contest, but at this point where they added it into the game so late, that probably wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I have all the spirits. I got all the new spirits already. I don't need to play Home Run Contest to get anything I really need in the game, so that's basically what I'm getting at. It's a cool mode. Some people are really into Home Run Contest. Good for them, but for me, I don't see any incentive to even play the mode anymore.
What I like about these re-releases or these releases today is Banjo-Kazooie music, which I love the remixes for a lot of these songs. Treasure Trove Cove is awesome. I love that remix.
And Neil would probably kill me if I didn't mention this. That's a Yoko Shimomura joint.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, this makes sense because I love all of her stuff. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's your Mario Street Fighter and all Mario RPG Street Fighter. They got her to do some updates for that along with Grant Kirkhope. So
yeah, that's the amazing collaborations.
Yeah.
One thing I'm kind of sad is that a Rusty Bucket Bay got nixed. Not on
there.
Ooh. Yeah. Sad.
Yeah.
So. No, I played a little bit of Banjo before this recording and, he seems fun. Aerial speed's a little slow, though, so it's kind of jarring sometimes when you're doing a full run and then you jump in the air and then...
I Banjo's, I also play as Banjo, and I'm not, like, in depth into, like, all the technical aspects of it, but he's fun to play. That's my review.
Yeah, I was having fun.
Yeah, so they had the new Mii costumes in that one. Proto Man and Zero, which I believe were both in the Wii U and 3DS version.
I think so. I was surprised that Proto Man wasn't in there already, but I guess he was in the previous games.
Yeah. We got Goemon from Mystical Ninja / Goemon from Konami. And they pulled out, they went out and got Sans from Undertale, complete with a version of Megalovania. Yeah,
that's cool.
And somewhere the entire internet melted down.
Yeah.
Does anyone know where that song actually gets played, though, when you have it? Is it only in the music player, or does it go to any stage?
I think they showed it in Balloon Fight, and I believe we do have some footage on our YouTube channel here of Matt playing a fight with using a Mii costume with Sans.
Okay.
Also, they got Team Rocket as a Mii costume, which, okay, sure.
Yeah, why not?
I guess it's not. Okay, so I guess that video is still in processing. By the time you hear this, there it is. Just uploaded now. This is such live, entertaining radio. So it looks like, yeah. So Matt did a fight with Megalovania playing on the the Omega Electroplankton stage.
Okay.
So it sounds like you can mix it into various themes there. So, but that wasn't all the Smash news. The rumor from that we talked about on last night's show, it did pay off. We got Terry Bogard as fighter number 4 for the Fighter's Pass.
I was talking about this with my brother, and our guesses were it's either going to be Terry Bogard or somebody from Metal Slug, and it was Terry Bogard.
Yeah, although it's now canon that Geese Howard tried to go for the Smash Brothers invitation and missed, and he ended up in Tekken 7.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad.
So, poor guy.
And we haven't seen many of his costumes, so I still think we might still a chance to get the female Terry Bogard.
That's Terry with an I for those keeping score at home.
Is that canon? Is the name Terry with an I?
That's a reference to the Switch game SNK Heroines.
I remember that. I remember that trailer. It was like, for some reason, Terry's a girl now. Wasn't that the trailer?
Like, the whole point of that was that they wanted to do fan service. Like, it was supposed to be a fan service game, but the guy really wanted Terry, so he turned him into a woman.
Huh.
I'm not making any of that up, by the way.
Okay. Interesting.
So, yes. Yeah, and then with the announcement of Terry was the announcement that, you know, just because the Fighter's Pass is going to end in February 2020, that doesn't mean the train's going to stop rolling on Smash DLC. We're going to go until hell freezes over.
Who else could they add,
though?
That's the
way it should be. And
that's a good question. Let the speculation begin.
Yeah. Now, do we have another pass, or are they just going to do these piecemeal at this point?
I don't know, but I thought Nintendo would be dumb to not do this because it's probably just easy money. Every time one of these characters comes out, they probably make a nice chunk of change.
Yeah.
And for me personally, I want more first-party Nintendo characters, and it looks like the entire Fighter Pass is going to be third parties.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see who comes is part of this next DLC wave.
Yeah. Although, again, we can probably put a pen in Edelgard and one of the starters from Pokemon Sword and Shield in their final form.
I can see that, definitely.
It's just going to be 10 Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah. Let's keep add all the three leaders of the houses in Fire Emblem.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't think any of those leaders have an issue with using swords in Three Houses itself.
No.
So, unfortunately, there is a possibility, but I would really hope at this point we would be on the point, be on the point of having sword characters when you have perfectly cromulent lance, axe, and bow users. But more on Fire Emblem in a little bit here. They did some quick updates on Link's Awakening, basically confirming that you use compatible Zelda amiibo to move your created dungeons to other copies of Link's Awakening. Also,
yeah, to me this is dumb because they're basically saying, no, you're not going to be able to share them online. So I guess I'm not sharing any of my creations or even wasting time in that mode that they've put together because the sharing mechanic sounds horrible.
If only there was an online service that you could share those dungeons with.
That would be a... But then again, given how they do Mario Maker, I don't think putting them into Zelda Maker is going to have that much of an effect anyway.
Yeah.
After the update on Zelda, going to the other September release, Dragon Quest XI, showing more of that off, reminding us the demo exists. And at this point in the Direct in Japan, they went and announced that Dragon Quest 1 through 3 are coming to the Switch eShop in Japan on the same day as 11.
Oh.
Meanwhile, the rest of the world, crickets.
Well, they're probably coming. They're all translated. They're all
there. Let me just put it this way. I believe they would have re-released those on the PS4 as well when Dragon Quest XI first came out there, and those never came west.
Huh.
Which you would think they would just port the mobile versions, you know, give them, you know,
yeah,
button controls and call it a day, but apparently we can't even get that nowadays.
Hmm.
But then, after that little bit of false sense of security, they caused me to explode. Tokyo Mirage Sessions, Sharp FE, Encore, January 17th. Thank you. Finally, I can stop asking for this.
You can finally throw out your Wii U, Donald.
No, I still need it for Xenoblade X and Pikmin 3 and Mario 3D World. Yeah. Which were the other three things that were being thrown about as possible next Wii U ports coming to Switch. Which
I'm into this. I played it a little bit on the Wii U and I didn't get into it, but I'll give it another shot. I don't know why, because I like these Persona type games and Fire Emblem type games. But this isn't really Fire Emblem. It's much more
It is a lighter Shin Megami Tensei game with Fire Emblem characters.
Yeah.
That's really all you need to know.
And then I think they were teasing Tiki towards the end of that trailer.
Yeah, because there were... Actually, it looks like there's going to be three additional playable characters in that game because the two... The entertainment agency's manager, the dance trainer, and Tiki, who's sort of the connection to the Fire Emblem stuff, they were all in a battle combo that they showed off near the end of that trailer, which suggests that they are playable. Which, at that point, like, one of the big complaints that people had as far as the Fire Emblem stuff goes was that it was entirely limited to Awakening and Shadow Dragon. The first game in the game that saved the series, essentially.
Yeah.
So does that mean they have more people in there now? Are more Fire Emblems going to be mentioned?
It's possible.
Because not even granted my Fire Emblem loving roommate, tried to look into this with me, but we can't think of anybody who would use dual blades the way that the agency's manager does in that trailer. Also, the preload for that is up now, which suggests that it's done. If that's the case, can we get the review codes now? and it seems like the changes that they made to the game in the North American version are going to carry over for the worldwide version here on. Which thankfully means that we don't have to worry about possible child porn. But anyway.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a thing, and they modified it slightly for the North American release, and this was right after they did the right things with Xenoblade X and the face touching in Fire Emblem Fates.
Oh,
so there's
yeah,
a certain subsection of the.
I remember the specifics for this one, but
yeah,
I don't want to... yeah, I remember now.
Let's not encourage them. Let's just move on. So yeah, so like I said, January 17th. We'll see if I have to buy the game with Christmas money or what, but that's the only reason I've held off. Does anybody here care about Deadly Premonition?
Okay, I don't know anything about this. Was this a adventure game from the DS? Or I think
no, this no, I'm not sure what this is. This is the Hidetaka Sueri developed adventure game that came out on the 360 and PS3 in 2010. That was incredibly stilted, but there's a certain subsection of people that really loved it. It was getting it, this is the first game I can think of that got tens and threes from different outlets.
This might be the game I'm thinking about. It was a detective game or something. I forget. A detective adventure game that was on the DS. I don't know if it's this one. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm intrigued, but I'm not $40 intrigued, which is what it would cost me to get the original game, which is out now on Switch. But there is a sequel to that, which is going to be out in 2020. Coming to at least the Switch, if not more. And Sueri has confirmed he is working on it.
Cool. I'm sure that's cool for the guys who are people who gave it 10s. I don't know about so much about the guys who gave it 3s.
Yeah. But I think if you heard an explosion from down like Mississippi Way, that was just Jim Sterling being really happy about this. Divinity Original Sin 2 out right now. Thank you very much. That's about game number 3,620 that's coming out in September. Oh, and it has cross-save with Steam.
Cool.
That was most unexpected.
Yeah, that's still kind of a rarity.
That's pretty cool, and something that more games should be doing. Yeah.
I believe that is the first time we've ever had Steam support in any fashion on the Switch.
Possible. I can't think of anything else.
So, where's Portal and Portal 2?
Good question. I beat Portal 1. I would love to beat Portal 2.
Yeah.
So,
but cool. Divinity Original Sin 2 is a really beloved RPG from the PC folks. And I believe it was the one that ended up winning all the Game of the Year awards in 2015 up against Pillars of Eternity and Xenoblade X. So that's the barometer of quality we're looking at here. We then had a message from Pete Hines at Bethesda. And what we all hoped and expected is happening. We're getting Doom 64. Oddly,
I'm excited about that.
Oddly, we're getting Doom 64 on November 22nd, which, by the way, that is the day that Doom Eternal comes out.
Huh. Well,
is this a make good for a possible delay? Because they've never really committed to November 22nd as the date that the Switch version of Doom Eternal has come out, at least to my knowledge.
Possibly, because they would have brought that up, that it's coming out the same day as the new Doom game, right?
Yeah, they didn't mention that once. Yeah, so what's happening?
I mean, there's so many games coming out, I don't care if they delay it. Doom 64 is fun. I've only played a little bit of that.
Yeah,
I never played it, but it came out in like a red cartridge, right? Or am I thinking of another game? Maybe I'm thinking of the SNES one.
Yeah, you're
thinking the Super Nintendo one.
Yeah, that's the Super Nintendo Doom. Because Doom 64 came out in like 97, so I don't think they were doing colored cartridges at that point.
I didn't play it. But that's probably why I don't know.
And also that game got, so that's probably going to come to the other platforms as well, so maybe it just comes later. Who knows? But Hi-Rez Studios, the Paladins and Smite guys have a new game, Rogue Company, that'll be out next year. Anybody here play any of their games?
No.
Okay. All right. New features for Pokemon Sword and Shield, and two new Pokemon introduced. Yes, there is a tea Pokemon in Britain, in Poke Britain. Everybody acts surprised.
Cool.
All right. So, yeah. So we've got a Pokemon that is essentially a ghost possessing a tea kettle. And this Pokemon apparently helps with the making of curry. Ooh.
Yeah, that's weird. That whole curry thing that they brought up where you have a curry dex and try to
make
different types of curry.
I know they've done stuff like that before with like the Pokeblocks, like the candies that you would make or the breads in Diamond and Pearl. But curry in England, I can kind of see it, but that seems more like something they would do if they were going back to Kanto or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's one of those weird looking Pokemon, like the keys and the lei in the last game. Kind of falls into that category, and I love them all, so that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I like curry, I feel like this is going to be one of those modes in the game that I don't care about at all, and it's just wasted resources, kind of like making movies and all the other things they always throw in and act like it's a huge deal, and then nobody ever cares.
Isn't there like a picture-taking mode in the last game?
Yeah, but it seems like at least it's something to do with all those berries you pick up in the environment that just literally just sit in my inventory and probably rot for most of the games.
Yeah, but I'm just going to let them rot anyway. Like,
yeah, unless they have some sort of stat-boosting function in-game. Like, I don't think that's going to carry over to PvP, but...
Probably not.
I would hope not. That would horribly imbalance things. But the curry thing is part of a camping game, which is another way you can interact with other people in the wild areas. Also, they're bringing back and blowing up the character customization. So we had the Poke News, which was the other big focus game that they had going in. And then they went into Switch Online. Super Nintendo games are coming, and they're coming tomorrow. And wow, they pulled some curveballs out of that lineup.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of excited to see Stunt Race FX. I don't think I've played that game since I rented it in the mid-90s, so that's going to be fun.
I don't think I ever played that one. So and everybody was freaking out about it, so I'm kind of interested in that one.
I'm sure it hasn't aged well, but I'm still... It's just more interesting to me since that game hasn't been re-released before. And it's been a long time since I've actually played it.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody's probably excited about Super Mario World and Kirby 3 and all these games, but there's some that haven't been re-released as much, like Breath of Fire. I think that's been released on other systems.
And a wild Xander has appeared. Hello, Xander. So, Xander, now that we've got you in here and able to hear us now, we definitely want to get your thoughts here on Luigi's Mansion. What did you think of the stuff they showed with us?
I was very shocked that they showed only about a minute and a half. I was expecting, because they advertised this as like a spotlight on the Pokemon Sword and Shield game and Luigi's Mansion 3, and since that game comes out first, I was expecting them to spend a lot of time on it. And I was kind of worried because I didn't want to see much more of it, to be honest. I had said in the staff chat, like, instead of showing me all these new floors or ghosts, why don't you just give me a new mode or something? Because I'm already ready to play the game. I don't need you to show me any more of the base content here. And that's kind of what they did. They showed off really quickly in, like, a sizzle reel, like, three different floors. There was a dance floor. This like bedroom suite called the Tomb Suite, which is all like Egyptian, and these big pyramids and mummies and sand dunes, and then they had the pirate restaurant called the Spectral Catch, I think, like it's a fish catch, and then after that they spent more time on this new multiplayer mode that I haven't quite figured out exactly like how it works. Like they explained it's two teams, 4v4, So it's like Splatoon, and it's like Luigi's versus Gooigi's, and it's a bunch of like little mini games that it kind of reminded me of Nintendo Land, like the Pac-Man kind of maze, except this time it was you're catching ghosts or collecting coins, kind of like that Animal Crossing Sweet Day game from Nintendo Land.
Hmm.
And I thought that that looked really, really neat. I doubt it's got the online play. Or maybe it does. I don't know. I think the Scarescraper has online play. Maybe this is like their local multiplayer game. But it was just such a kind of out there mode. I wasn't actually expecting them to give me a new mode today, which is what kind of caught me off guard when they spent more time on that than they did the actual base game. I apologize if you can hear a siren. It's driving right by me right now. But yeah, Luigi's Mansion 3, that was a real standout for me. Obviously, I'm biased about it. I was pleasantly surprised that they spent little time on it, I guess, and even more surprised that they showed up a whole new mode. So yeah, it's exciting. I hope I'm not the only one that was like happy about that. I hope that other people liked that too.
Yeah, it seems like it's going over pretty well. It's just there was a lot of stuff that got announced in this direct that we've sort of already covered. There was there anything else that you saw in there before we get back to the NES or the SNES stuff here that really stood out for you?
It was weird seeing Pete Hines in a Nintendo Direct, the president of Bethesda or whatever, announcing the Doom 64 game. That was fun. I also thought it was weird that they mentioned the Trials of Mana game, because I thought that they had mentioned that at E3, so it was kind of weird that they like were covering that again. I thought it was already out. But maybe I didn't play it, so...
It was out in the collection form, but this is the like 3D remake of it that's going to be coming.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense then. And then the other one was... there was something where I was like, oh, I didn't think that was actually going to happen, but it totally did. Oh, it was the Tokyo Mirage Sessions. That also caught me off guard. I was very... I didn't play that on the Wii U. It was one of those things I bought, and then I haven't gotten around to playing it yet, and someday I will. But I know a lot of people on staff have spoken so highly about that game, and it was like something I've just kind of feared that wouldn't make it off the Wii U. So it was very exciting to just see that being announced. I was just kind of shocked to see that, and so I felt happiness for the people who I know are going to want to play that, and it's got a little bit more content, which is cool.
The only thing I want to add to that is, if there's a way to make some money off of something that was on Wii U, they're probably going to do it.
Yeah, I guess
they need to get some money back on that investment from years ago.
I would have placed money on like Pikmin 3 or 3D World making it over before Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE. That was just kind of my mindset, but I'm happy it's over. I think I'm very glad that people are going to be able to play that. And you know, the user base is bigger. It's kind of the story of the Switch. It's with all these Wii U ports. That kind of seemed to be the theme of the Direct. It was a lot of ports, even there, or like remakes of some sort. I don't think they showed too much in the whole new department as far as things you hadn't seen before. But I still enjoyed myself. I thought that it was cool to see the things they were bringing.
Yeah, because we'll talk about the one more thing for this show is a remake as well. But
right.
Yeah. Do any of those SNES games stand out for you? Like, anything you're looking forward to playing in that first launch lineup of 20 when it comes out tomorrow?
Well, yeah, I am excited about that. I think I've shared this before on other podcasts, but the SNES was the system that I just completely missed. I never had it, and I didn't start playing it until I really started at NWR. And so I've been slowly kind of playing catch-up, and I know John is really pushing me to play Star Fox, which I will. I promise you I will. I've played Mario World, I've played Link to the Past, I've played maybe a third of Super Metroid, and I've beaten Earthbound, and Super Mario RPG. I think those are the only SNES games I have gotten through. And I have the classic, but with just being a college student, kind of always on the go, going from class to class, the Switch has been just my much more preferred thing to be playing. And I, myself and everyone else in the world kind of assumed that eventually the SNES games were coming. I mean, Nintendo had said it when they first started the online like announcement, and then they kind of backtracked and just did NES stuff for a while. But I knew eventually it was going to have to come. And so, you know, now's the time. So I think most of those games I have not played. I think the ones I've listed that I have played are all on there, except for Earthbound, and I don't think Mario RPG are on there. But those are both really long RPGs that I've played through once, and I don't have a desire to go back to right now. So I'm excited to get through everything else that's on there. I guess some of them apparently are not available anywhere else other than the SNES. So
yeah,
it's kind of cool to see that there's that, some stuff living on. It's kind of like the arcade archives.
Yeah, like the Stone Race FX. Also, the version that the game that I thought was Kirby's Avalanche that they showed off in there, it's actually the Japanese version.
How was that too?
Yeah, it's actually Japanese Puyo Puyo 2.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, did the Japan release, the Japan Direct, was there a different list, or is this all the same?
It likely will be all this. Like, it'll probably be all the same. I don't recall them seeing anything different from it. But I think the biggest thing is that we get this, they would get the Super Famicom box art instead.
Yeah, I think when I saw a little bit of the trailer, and I think they were all Super Famicom box art.
Yeah. The only other thing that stood out to me about this Direct, I don't know if you guys have talked about Banjo yet, but the small thing here is that I did watch part of the Sakurai does his own little live stream, and it was just very bizarre to me that like he had to go through the portion of who is Banjo-Kazooie, and then he weirdly advertised playing Banjo-Kazooie on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny to me. I'm just kind of like, what is happening right now?
It's not very often you hear like actual laughter on a Nintendo live stream.
Right. The laughter from the Hero stream and then the Banjo-Kazooie one, like it made it very weirdly real. It wasn't like a polished corporate video that we all kind of look forward to because it's calculated. It was just, nope, he's just making a joke and going along with what everyone's thinking.
I do want to say for the SNES games, I'm also looking forward to playing Demon's Crest, which I've never played, but I've heard good things. And I know it's not that great, but I have fond memories of the series as a kid, Joe and Mac. It's like an arcade game.
Yeah, it's different. It's not on the usual list of games you'd see.
No, it's not.
Super Nintendo re-release.
And it'll work all right with the online, I hope. Because that's a two-player co-op game, if you want to play it that way.
Oh, yeah. A lot of the SNES games are... Well, I guess so, the NES games, but they're meant for co-op. So, like Mario Kart, you could play Mario Kart online.
Then you don't have the controllers. You have to buy the two different controllers.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, weird. Ah. I liked that controller, the wireless one. That looked kind of neat. I was afraid that he's going to pull it out and have rails on it. But it looked like it was a much better design.
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm disappointed there aren't rails on it.
Oh, really? Okay.
I want to see the ridiculous concoction.
Oh, okay.
I want it to
maybe,
get stupid.
Maybe they were like seeing the memes of like what an N64 Joy-Con would look like. And like, we gotta circumvent this somehow, guys. We need to think of a plan B.
Yeah, so they showed that off, and then keeping on the Switch Online front for a bit, Tetris 99 version 2, which unlocks a mode that you have to have beaten, you have to have had a win in Tetris 99. Thankfully, I got that, I think, during the Splatoon 2 chase. So that'll take care of that. And also, a new, like, you can get new themes as well from completing daily missions.
Yeah, the themes look cool.
Yeah, they do look cool. And they're not just, like, screenshots of a game. They look like they were, like, made out of the tile sets of the game, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you've been following Tetris 99 at all, I think they've had three themes already that you could get through some of the special events.
Yeah,
all of them are pretty cool.
Yeah, the classic Game Boy one, the Splatoon one, and the Fire Emblem one.
I don't remember them ever advertising the Game Boy one. Maybe I just completely missed that. But I got footage of the Splatoon and Fire Emblem one for NWR, but I was a little like, what? They had another one and I missed it? It's going to always bother me, but it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be a way to get it another way eventually.
Especially to the Game Boy one, you know. Of course, it has to come back sometime, right?
Yeah, you'd think.
We'll charge you for it.
Yeah, and also,
I mean, Fire Emblem Three Houses only comes out once, but dang, they're going to have a Game Boy special every so often.
Yeah. And if you got the, if you were, sorry, if you bought the DLC there, the big block stuff, that is going to be having, like, you're going to get those, that the rest of that, which includes a local multiplayer mode, which I definitely appreciate, and some sort of you can do two player mode as well, like two player versus.
Yeah, and they stacked the displays of the Tetris on top of each other rather than put them side by side, which I thought was just hilarious.
Yeah, but you can only, like, there's only so much room there. You can't really do 97 other people in.
Yeah, I guess
that's probably why they did it the way they did. Mario and Sonic at the Olympics with the 64 mode that I believe got announced last week, so we saw footage of that, and apparently it's also going to be part of a story mode. It's like,
what?
Yeah, like there's a story mode that involves Mario, Bowser, Eggman, and Sonic, who get sucked into a time machine and transported back to 1964, the last time Tokyo had the Olympics.
Okay.
Do they go to the Olympics of that time period?
Yeah, you're literally like, you're, and that's where you get into the 8-bit stuff.
That's hilarious.
That's fascinating. See, this is the most interesting Mario and Sonic game.
and not just because they
maybe ever,
and not just because they're trying to out Tony Hawk. Tony Hawk.
Yeah, you're right.
They have an awesome skateboarding game. And now they have all this weird stuff. I am so fascinated by this game. It's like way more interest than the other games.
Yeah, with the Mario and Sonic games, like, say what you will about like how people feel about them, but all the events are always things you would never see these characters doing. Like Bowser twirling a baton with a ribbon on it, you know? Just, yeah. Okay, alright, that's...
It's all about Waluigi.
Peach is like a ninja or whatever, the fighting game.
The karate game?
Karate, yeah. It's just in a toga of all things. And Wario about to do some jumping in the pool and doing some breaststrokes.
Yeah.
Weird game.
Yeah.
It's weird, but I'm into it now.
Mm-hmm.
If they give me a demo, though, with the skateboarding, that might be all I need, honestly.
Probably.
Yeah. So after that, Daemon X Machina is getting an actual demo, which will carry over to the final game, thankfully.
It's out now.
Yep.
That's appreciated, really.
The Star Wars Jedi Knight games are coming to Switch and apparently other consoles as well. The first one will be out September. Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast will be out on September 24th. And then they went and announced later that they're going to put out the Jedi Academy game sometime next year.
Huh.
That was an interesting get.
I was expecting the Lion King and Aladdin to show up right around this portion of the Direct.
Yeah, because it would be that Disney block, I guess.
Yeah.
Showed off a new trailer for The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt. Remind everyone that's coming out next month. Assassin's Creed Rebel Collection, which this actually leaked out, but it's the Assassin's Creed Rogue and Black Flag, so the fourth and I guess would be the sixth, because Unity came out at the same time as Rogue did and did not do too well, but that's another story for another time. So that'll be out December 6th.
Does Uplay support this? Is that even on the Switch?
I want to say it is, just because they would need it for the... they'd have to have something in there as far as getting... like, I'm pretty sure there's some sort of achievement system in there.
I guess so, yeah.
So sadly, yes, we are stuck with Uplay. they showed off some more stuff for Dauntless, but just said it's coming out this year. And this opened the door to the giant sizzle reel. As far as stuff that's in that of like Outer Worlds, you know, Kuni, just a lot of reminders of release dates. For some reason, Capcom's re-releasing Devil May Cry 2.
That wasn't well received when it first came out, didn't it?
No, and its reputation has only gotten worse.
Huh. I guess they put it out there just to say, well, we're gonna put as many of these games out there as possible.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then also showing off Vampyr and Call of Cthulhu, because those will both be out in October. Of course, they're Halloween and everything. Who's up for Farming Simulator? I'm sure there's somebody here.
Well, I did play Stardew Valley, so I guess there's a small portion of me that's like, yeah, all right.
My Farming Simulator is going to be the Friends of Mineral Town remake.
Good point.
Yep.
I think I'll pass on.
I don't need real farming.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Farming Simulator, Grid Auto Sport, which they later would announce that there's going to be GameCube controller support for that for a serious racing game. What have we done with the society?
Well, you need those analog triggers.
Anyway, and then we had an extended segment of Animal Crossing stuff, which all flew over my head. I need help here.
So that's just weird. They like kind of just said everything that they had said at E3, but like just in the direct, like they did everything on that Treehouse segment at E3, and then they just kind of quickly went through all those bullet points here.
Yeah, I think it was smart of them to do that because most people aren't going to sit through the whole Treehouse presentation.
Right,
so they kind of made it more of a marketable trailer. More
streamlined. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. So
I just like seeing more of the game.
Yeah, so that, of course, that's still coming out in March of next year, so it'll probably have one more deep dive and probably, honestly, its own direct before this is all over.
Yeah, I was really hoping that like they were gonna say something like, "We're still working on XYZ of the online," but they're kind of sticking to the you can play with your friends online, but you can't really share a town with them. It's all just visiting each other, which all right, it kind of disappoints me, but it's fine.
Yeah, and then the one more thing, the last announcement: Xenoblade Chronicles gets a remastered version coming in 2020, which, dang, that game looked amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw a screenshot of the, I don't know if it's the opening scene, or it was in the trailer. It was Shulk laying in the field, and you can see the difference between the Wii version and the Switch version. It's like, visually very impressive. So, yeah, I mean, it's, visually, it looks, this remaster looks amazing.
And of course, Xenoblade is a known quantity at this point. It's one of the more beloved games here. It might be the we might actually be able to convince David that the Wii is a good system because of it.
No, he'll just claim that the Switch surpassed it because it has the better version of Xenoblade. I'm sure it'll be better.
Maybe I'll tell him like, oh, I played it on my phone or something, and that'll really upset him.
That would actually be quite an impressive feat, considering I don't think there are any Android emulators that can run Wii games at this point.
Yeah, you're probably right. How about, I don't know, Kindle Fire? My MacBook?
Yeah, just tell them anyway.
Yeah, I probably should. Like, you know what I'll do? I'll just take a screenshot of the trailer. I could Photoshop on some like touch, like the virtual D-pad that he loves so much.
Boy, we love you, David. But yeah, you're a little over the top sometimes. Yeah. So,
it's
I
not
mean,
me anymore, guys.
Yeah. So overall, I mean, any direct where you're going to tell me that yes, Tokyo Mirage Sessions lives is going to be a thumbs up for me automatically. So I'm a little biased here. anybody, any final thoughts on the direct before we wrap this up?
I think the direct was all right. Maybe a little too port heavy.
I'd agree with that.
Not, yeah, there wasn't too much new, but I understand a lot of it's. It was mostly supposed to be advertising for the rest of this year, which I think it did the right thing and accomplished. I am very excited about the Smash news, especially more than the 5 fighters being added with the season pass. And, yeah, I think overall it was pretty good. Could have been better, but some awesome things like Xenoblade and Smash.
Yeah, going into this, I didn't have much, you know, excitement for it. I'm going to watch the direct. I'm going to see what's going to happen. But at the end, I was excited about some stuff. I like the Smash Brothers news. There's going to be more fighters after Terry Bogard and whoever is the fifth DLC character. I'm excited for SNES because SNES is the system that I grew up with, so I'm looking forward to these original games and what else will be coming out in the next few months. There's a lot of cool little stuff that's coming out, so I'm excited for that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just maybe it's just hard for me to get through with knowing that just all the stuff that I've got to play this month anyway.
Yeah, September is loaded.
Yeah.
Plus, have you even finished Fire Emblem Donald?
I haven't even hit the time skip yet.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Boy.
And
this reminds me of that October in 2017 where, like, I think it was Wolfenstein came out, Assassin's Creed came out, Mario Odyssey came out, all within, like, a week of each other.
Yeah.
And Fire Emblem Warriors.
And Fire Emblem Warriors. And Hat in Time, I think, was also in that stretch, but... that was on Switch, so yeah, I agree with you though, Justin. Like, I enjoyed myself watching the direct. I went in knowing that it was going to be a deep dive on the 2019 wrap up. I was more expecting like what they were going to do. Like, I don't know. I think I had this expectation of like, is there going to be a holiday title that isn't Pokemon? And I guess it's just kind of not the case. Unless they said something, I just kind of missed it. I don't know. This is my first time, I think, where I was, like, really trying to get NWR stuff up while I was watching the Direct. So, like, some of the finer details kind of passed me. But even though it was pretty port-heavy, which I think is more disappointing looking back on it, I still enjoyed myself watching it, and a lot of that stuff looks really fun to play. And I'm happy for a lot of people who are going to get games that I know that they've been asking for in like the discussions, and especially like Tokyo Mirage Sessions or like a Xenoblade Chronicles remake. I think it's just really cool. So
yeah,
I do also want to say this direct, I may have seen this direct better if so many things didn't kind of leak out ahead of time, like Doom 64, Terry Bogard, and Overwatch, all for different reasons.
I didn't know about the Doom 64 thing, but I knew about Overwatch and Terry Bogard.
Yeah, but I think all of that kind of hurt the surprise element.
More like,
yeah,
I think Terry Bogard's more like a, well, who could it be? And Terry Bogard, I think, was a lot of the... It would be a lot of the first people's choice for which SNK character would be in Smash.
I will say, you know, I think it's public knowledge. I'm an RA, and... a lot of people on my floor that I'm in, like, their RA of are all into Super Smash Brothers, and they're all 18, 19, but they were kind of like, I don't know, they're kind of like my testing ground of, do you know who this character is? And, like, they know who Banjo-Kazooie is. They've never played his game, but, like, I think through the osmosis of, like, people requesting a character or the memes, they knew, just know of what Banjo-Kazooie is. Same with Joker. None of them knew who Terry Bogard was, and they were all kind of like, what is this character?
Well, that's how I felt about Joker, so.
Yeah, yeah. So it's interesting that I don't know. It's just
I don't know about the fighting game scene, but I mean SNK and King of Fighters and all that. I mean that's not as obviously not as popular as Street Fighter, but it's there. So I think the fighting game people or that circle is probably excited. It's not Terry Bogard is not like a super mainstream.
Which is why I think it's just like that feels like it would be more of a Sakurai choice, someone who's picking from a circle of fighting games or of a certain genre. Whereas like they said that Nintendo themselves picked this five lineup. So maybe the conversation changed as they were making these characters and they said that they were gonna do more, so they're like, okay, we'll go ahead and throw this character in. I think that's what's more fascinating to me is like now that they've established that they're going to be doing more characters, at what point did they settle on these five in particular, and like what was that conversation like? Why did they think that like putting Terry Bogard, who is a cool character that people from a certain circle would know, and even with Joker, I think as well. Like what I think Banjo and Hero make more sense from like Nintendo's PR standpoint. It's just, it seems interesting to me that that's what they're going with. Not saying any of them shouldn't be in it by any means, but I'm just trying to figure out, like, what was that conversation like? Why did they go with these five for this list? Why wouldn't you put the more obscure ones in the ones that were... I don't know. I guess it doesn't really matter since you're paying for it, but...
Yeah. Most of us already paid for this pass for one or two characters anyway, so Terry's a nice bonus. And plus, I think... Because I know Sakurai has spoken in the past about how a lot of his love of fighting games comes from doing King of Fighters, which is a giant crossover fighting game. So maybe that was Nintendo saw that they could get Terry out of SNK, and Sakurai went for it because hey, it's an opportunity to put a character in that he loved as a child.
And it seems like each of these characters are from a different third party, so maybe these other characters that they've decided to work on aren't that. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe like they are Nintendo characters that they were going to use, and they wanted to have everyone in the Fighters Fighters Pass, thank you, all be from different companies, but maybe that's not the case. Maybe like the first character that's not in this Fighter Pass is also from another company. Maybe it's Doom Guy or Fallout Boy or whatever.
Pip-Boy.
Yeah, I think Fallout Boy's a band. I don't know. I think that would be really cool regardless.
One more thing I want to talk about that I don't think we mentioned is, and it's real quick, I think that Pokemon that spits out a fish is awesome.
I agree. That was cool. I also like the name Poltegeist, but I'm impartial to anything that's in October, I guess. I don't know. What did you mention?
All right.
Yeah, Poltegeist is awesome.
All right. So with that, thank you very much for listening. So let's get the plugs in here. Where can people find y'all on the internet? Brian, we'll start with you, I guess.
I'm at BR26 on Twitter, and that's pretty much where I'm at when I'm not posting about wrestling stuff on WrestlingObserver.com. And, it's going to be a busy month. A busy next couple of months. It's in between all the video game news that came out today and all the wrestling news that's come out over the last 48 hours, I'm like... It's like too much to handle. I think my brain's exploded from all the news that's coming out.
Did they actually find the AEW title belt, by the way?
Yes. Yes, Jericho cut a promo with it. And he looks so beat red. I don't even know what happened in the last 24 hours. But yeah, he was there. He was with the title. And I don't know any of the actual details about how the police found it. But I think somebody said that they found it on the side of the road and they turned it in.
Given Jericho's state right now in terms of how he medicates, I think it just I wouldn't be surprised with anything that he does anymore.
I know what you mean.
For those who don't know, he's taking living the rock star lifestyle a little too far.
He's a rock star. He's Fozzy, and yeah.
All right, and Justin, where can people find you?
On Twitter at KingNintendoFan, on Instagram at KingNintendoFanboy, and you can also find me moderating the official Nintendo World Report Discord on our Discord server, which you can join by clicking the chat at the top of the NintendoWorldReport.com website. And I hope to see you there.
Yeah, always a good time in that Discord. Even if some of the trolls can have their moments. Not that I'm mentioning any names or anything.
He's talking about me, guys.
All right, and Xander, how about where can we find you aside from posting Luigi's Mansion videos on YouTube?
I was literally about to say you can find me slavishly working behind my computer analyzing every ounce of footage that they make because I'm working on a video for NWR. So keep your eyes tuned for that. I'm humbled to have been appointed as the Luigi's Mansion guardian. I feel like a sense of responsibility in a way every time they talk about it, but if you just want to talk to me, you can find me on Twitter at Morning Shark.
All right, and if you want to find me on I'm at NWR Donald, and I'm also posting the download lists and keeping up with the sales most weeks. This week is going to take a little bit of doing, especially since I have to have I have to add 8 games now to the release list just for today. But of course you got this,
Donald, don't worry.
Yeah.
If I can upload 8 trailers within an hour, you can crunch some numbers.
Yeah. You know what's funny? If
all right, of course the mothership is NintendoWorldReport.com. We've got all the news from the direct there. We've got hot takes going up all the time, including a whole bunch of reviews. I believe there is a River City Girls review in the editing bay now. So we'll have that for that game's launch tomorrow.
And there's a Bubsy review coming.
Yeah, unfortunately Brian was kind of he was the one who had to find out what could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, possibly.
Possibly.
P-A-W.
There's like 4 asterisks at each end of that word.
Like, I don't want to spoil my review, but Bubsy's like the least. How can I put this? Bubsy is the least. Like,
no, this is your thesis statement.
If there was like a crowd of people and Bubsy was right there, I would never want to interact with him.
Have you seen The Office? Cutscene.
No, a little bit.
There's a good line in there where I don't know if it's a good line, but Steve Carell tells this person he hates, the HR guy. He's like, if I was locked in a room with you, Adolf Hitler, and Osama bin Laden, and I had a gun with 2 bullets in it, I'd shoot you twice.
Yeah, that's Bubsy.
That's Bubsy.
There's only 2 cutscenes in that entire game, and he is so insufferable in both. It's kind of amazing. But yeah, that's my preview of my review.
Yeah, so look for that on NintendoWorldReport.com, and yeah. Thanks for listening. Be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. I'd like to think we are a 5-star podcast with a 1-star runtime, but that's up for you to decide. All right, and we will see you. We will see you next we meet. Bye bye.
Take care.
All right. Clap in 3, 2, 1.